Book 1, Part 17. Education in a New World of Administration. The People's Alliance for Compassionate Affairs Petition. Book of Job, Lucifer and Memnosis. The Melvedic Alliance, Jesus, 21st April, 2025. Invocation. Beloved, I am presence. As we are one with you and now the universal master alchemist, we call out in this time and give praise and thanks for your love as we again divinely ask for your guidance, your direction as to the needs to blend together with our four lower bodies, that which is essential for our continual progressive development towards the inner strength from our hearts for this mastery. May our free will choices deliver us back home after the miasma of scheming traditions of iniquity has evolved. Mighty I Am Presence from the heart of God, bring forth your ideas and accomplishments which have never been brought into this earth evolution before. Guide us in how to implement and make them manifest. Lord Jesus. Blessings, dear hearts. As our beloved Lord Michael has not yet come forward, several questions have entered the hearts and minds of a brother and sister who have read the Discourse, Part 12, the People's Alliance for Compassionate Affairs Petition, Part 2. Don't let others tell you who you are. On 11th January 2025. I would like to come back to this discourse for a better understanding as to why I use the example of Job in my Beatitudes within this very specific Compassionate Affairs petition, and more importantly, a culmination of 17 years of transitions since 2008, while the Elemental Grace Alliance has been finding its own way to a higher, more demarcated way before coming into a greater group awareness, before we could elaborate upon my last beatitude of blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven, through Job's example. This is a very long story, and one that we cannot go into in any detail this day, in the posit or supposition. For this very subject of Job and his encounter with his colleagues and God is all part of a very similar scenario that you all go through every day as you find your own ways through your self-created human mazes of the unknown realms that you endure unnecessarily. Oh, if you could only but see the unseen. Dear ones, every human being who incarnates upon this blue planet comes from a historical background that builds a picture of form in your creations. That while not necessarily remembered by you, although such experiences are nonetheless all written into your DNA, these are all now being magnetized to the surface for your projections so that as much of your karma as possible, not only for your lifetimes upon this earth, but that which have been accrued over time upon many other planets and far distant star systems and worlds can be released and balanced. Most of the work of those who have set out to clear their karmas only ever look to the immediate past, but that is like a drop in the oceans of time. And while this all helps, it can only facilitate a minuscule amount in truth. It is for this reason that the Elemental Grace Alliance, this divine God plan, was consecrated to get to the bottom of the purpose and function of the ego is to go back far enough in time that would take into account a number of time zones since the known existences of those who were called the laggards. And before that, the time that Archangel Lucifer, who would claim for himself to be the greatest archangel of all time. So, while the story of Lucifer is presently only known by a very few small circles around this world, the work that has been done to completely release Lucifer from his ego self-personification as Satan by the Malvedic Alliance Council is not well known, but to a few. Peter did not know until 2011 of the overall extent of Lucifer's iniquitous behaviors reached into other realms that he held such a position within. This is all a vast subject, and right now I shall not go into any of this, but suffice it to say the Malvedic Alliance and its supporting works, when read and reviewed, will offer a lot more to what I am about to share. Herein, the Elemental Grace Alliance divine plan, everything has been so divinely orchestrated and so meticulously delivered in divine order that it had to play out this way for even the timing of introducing Job's story so his lessons would have a greater impact by becoming a topic of the day that hopefully will shed a greater light upon those who still remain in the belief that to gain God's love, you still have to live your lives based on suffering and loss and devastations to the point of, in many cases around the world, of being afraid of living. Thus, remaining in your exhaustive states of the deepest depressions that even giving up on God's presence in your life, known or unknown, seems to be the only avenue out of one's pain and suffering. That is not the way to face your sorrows and enduring situations. Oh, how easy it is to forget who loves you beyond all else. Peter himself declares his story around this suffering, and in one of his deepest states of depression, that while he was ready to take his own life there and then, but first he was prepared to call to God one more time to bring him to his own senses and inner knowings that this was not about Peter, rather about the truth and just righteousness of God's own plan, to bring divine balance back to an out-of-balance solar system and the Earth Terra as it was once known. Which, by divine design for him, at that time, in 2008, led to the creation of the Malvedic Alliance Council, and what transpired beyond that, to find and bring balance and divine justice back to the unification of the masculine, patriarchal, and feminine matriarchal principles, characteristics, attributes, and virtues. So many of the discourses throughout the Iga have spoken of such historical periods in cosmic time. The artificial time zones, the time binding and time contractions, the lives of Saint Germain and myself, in the various levels of dimensional fields and realms, all which had been needed to be incorporated into these fantastical and mysterious narratives, whereby Lucifer played a most important part, along with not only Archangel Michael, but also with a being by the name of Memnosis, who was unbeknown to Lucifer until he was contacted by Memnosis, who would eventually help him to transition closer to giving up his personification as Satan. So, who was Memnosis? Memnosis is a six-dimensional being who was a master of cosmic memory, who knew of Lucifer's plight, and his false creations of fear-based projections? And who vowed to help release him from his self-imposed entrapment within his own thoughts and beliefs? The sixth dimension in the archetypal realms is one in which some spiritual teachings believe a oneness with God can be reached. God, in these types of spiritual teachings, refers to an all-encompassing being or spirit, not a specific deity. The sixth dimension is one of purity and light, where a spirit or being can live without a physical body, as Memnosis and Lucifer were residing. Memnosis followed Lucifer throughout the cosmos so as to be able to telepathically speak to him at a most auspicious time. And while this was long after the destruction of Maldek and the annihilation of the surface of Mars and all those who lived upon her, the moment came when Memnosis could speak with Lucifer and said to him, "Why are you so alone? I am one with you. I, too, am totally of the light, a six-dimensional being. But unlike you, I have not abused the will of others or my own free will. I come to you in freedom with the gift of liberation. However, liberation is a process that only God can have the mercy required to be completely free and thus being able to become a sovereign being again. For Lucifer had much karma to bring into balance before he could return back to his original place in the kingdom of God. In the story of Job, if one feels more into the text, it is easy to believe in God when everything is going well in one's life. But like Lucifer, the test of one's faith and trust must come. Karma must be perfectly balanced, and the deepest of subconscious beliefs must come to the surface for their final disillusion. And so, Job's story, whether true or false in its context, has many lessons within it. Those which we have spoken of herein, the Compassionate Affairs Petition, where to truly know God, one must prove themselves trustworthy and faithful to God's laws. So, Job, having all his wealth and good health, and demonstrated his good to do and good to be, was tested. And true to Job's faithful countenance, the universal processes under cosmic law took all that Job accrued away, including his health. While suffering is part of the human experience, Job never denounced God and never lost hope in God's loyalties to him. God always answered Job's prayers. Perhaps not in a way that was expected, but where God in her wisdom knew that through full surrender, one shall rise again. So, Job trusted in God, and having found his releases of all, but that of his faith and love in God. Job proved himself, and God returned all his wealth and health to him again, but this time in greater volumes. Lucifer's freedom, then, had to go through a similar process. And so, in 2008, his freedom was returned to him by God's own hand. God, in his love for all, and through the law of allowing and assumption, knew that in her divine creations and plans, true balance, true liberation, and true divine justice would always, unconditionally, triumph. Whether Lucifer, Job, or human souls, even a whole human race, darkness, suffering, pain, and disbelief can always be allowed. For even in these conditions, God can lead dear hearts back to truth and freedom. My beloved brothers and sisters, we are the creators of our own journeys, and deep within us, God is our only anchor that we can hold on to and not be torn away from our true anchorage in life. All else is just a mindset, a belief pattern that creates illusions of falsely claimed assumptions and in turn pain and suffering. Persecution, then, is self-imposed by the ego and its free will, not by God. So, when I said, "Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven," there is a great lesson involved in this blessing, not just for heaven, but also for the earth and its people of God. It is the most difficult lesson anyone will ever master. Yet in learning it, a person rises above the tyranny of hardships, which lead to experiences of liberation. This is why it is the last blessing. The power of this blessing resides in the fact that the Creator of all things is present with all things and is in all things. There is no place where God is not. There is no experience in which God is not. There is no dimension or time of understanding or awareness where God is not. One who has known God only in a state of well-being has just known the smallest portion of the Creator. One who must place conditions on how to receive God cannot receive God. One who can only know God in blissful and abundant experiences has no power in the rest of life. What is the kingdom of heaven except the wholeness of everything? How can a person have everything when he or she is only willing to know a single part of God? This was the lesson presented in the book of Job, although not many people comprehend its true meaning. In the English language, persecution implies an intentional harassment or punishment. In Aramaic, it typically meant suffering. Our Creator never afflicts or badgers His children, although it is His greatest yearning to be known by them in the fullness of existence. It is through challenge and the survival of suffering that a person grows beyond his protective bubble to experience the love of God in a greater way. In any relationship, the one who establishes conditions is the dominant party. Therefore, as long as a person refuses to accept, in good faith, God's power to change or expand the conditions of life, there cannot be a truly sacred relationship. There is a second meaning to this beatitude, which relates to the vanishing of illusion. To attain this additional blessing, you must realize that for righteousness' sake means for love's own sake. Whenever you stand firmly in the midst of a hardship, holding and expressing the love that you are empowered to transcend your sufferings. Therefore, love your enemies if you would convince yourself that love is a power that comes from within. There are no enduring enemies, but there are adversarial situations. So life does have its trials. And when you are passing through these difficulties, it is imperative to be the love that you are for love's own sake. Only in the presence of your enemy can you really discover that truth. Only when you love beyond all of the external conditions which logically tell you not to do so, can you discover the deeper wellspring of that love that you are? In the 23rd chapter of the book of Psalms, King David welcomes the Lord to set the table before him in the presence of his enemies, knowing that his cup will be filled to overflowing. His cup was filled with love. David knew that only through the power of love could victory be claimed. With love, you have the power of victory over any situation. Only you will never truly know this until you have surmounted adversity. The last of the Beatitudes is the greatest of all blessings. For in that learning, you are forever free from the illusions that would attempt to conquer you and misdirect your life. Here is a great lesson for all peacemakers upon the planet who will face off with their adversities of other human powers who persist in their positions and beliefs in tyranny and oppression. Love is your only real, rightful application to a God life, in equality as sovereign beings honoring God's freedom to all. Throughout history, dear souls, where time immemorial abounds, it does not negate experiences or communications with God, your Creator. Love is the only truth, the only thing that transcends all pain, suffering, and indeed self-persecution, realized or not yet realized. I repeat, there are no enduring enemies, but there are adversarial situations. And so life does have its trials. And as you are passing through these difficulties, it is imperative to be the love that you are, for love's own sake. Only in the presence of your enemy can you really discover that truth. Only when you love beyond all the external conditions which logically tell you not to do so, can you discover the deeper wellspring of love that you are. This divine plan is a God plan for a reason. One that will lead billions of people back to their soul's passions for themselves and others. And when governments around the world can understand and comprehend these truths, then and only then will all problems be neutralized fully. There is no half-heartedness in making such resolutions. As long as all parties, including God, are consciously present and declare their desires to find peace, love, and freedom, and liberation at all cost to self, only then will all self-inflicted pain and suffering be dissolved. Follow the cosmic laws of your souls, for these are timeless, indestructible, immutable, unassailable, irreversible, undeniable, all-powerful, uncompromising, and permanent. I tell you this, dear hearts. You have the right to enter your heart consciously and to know the higher intelligence which is to provide truth in your life. You have the right to experience infinity from your own viewpoint and to appreciate within its vast potentials the values and meanings which support and empower your reason for being. And dear hearts, know that you are immortal. To close today, let me also say, if you wish to be freed, liberated, healed, karmically balanced, pure of heart and mind, love yourself free. If you have anything or anyone, any belief or behavioral pattern that no longer serves you, if you have a life that you wish to live, all that you need to do is to love everything. See all as good, God, and graciously put before you to see the truth of who you really are. Love yourself free. Love your families, neighbors, brothers, and sisters free. Love and forgiveness is your ticket to a new life in God. Forgive all that has given you grief, pain, and suffering, and placed you in compromising situations, for none of these are real. Love yourself free. For me to set myself free from my cross, I said to God, "Have mercy, dear Father, on all those who have trespassed against me. Forgive them, Father, for they do not know what they do. Greater things shall you do than I did in my lifetime upon earth. Freedom from all iniquity and imbalances of your old miscreations in a life without God is your destiny. Now go and live it with all the loving heart and your God intelligence that you can bring into the forefront of your new desires for yourself and others. I am your brother, Jesus. In love and joy, I share with you all."